Amen. Good singing this morning. I hope you've anchored your soul in the haven of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I hope every mother here knows for certain where they would spend their eternity, that they are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. If you've got your Bibles, find your places in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, as we celebrate this morning the mothers that are here. I wanted to spend some time in the Word of God and describing what I believe to be will be a helpful passage for every mother. But you'll find out in just a moment it really applies to all as well as we see it. We're living in a day and time when it comes to the announcement of a birth that's completely different than it was in my generation. Years ago, when people were to announce a birth and a married couple, whatever it might have been, was going to discover that they were fixing to have their first child, it took some effort. You know, I mean, you had to get on the rotary dial phone, right? Had a cord that was 75 foot long that your mama had in the kitchen. And you had to go dial it up and call somebody. And you had to tell that one lady in the neighborhood who'd tell everybody else, amen. That's how you let people know then. Of course, if it was a shady situation, they knew anyway, amen. But when you went to announce the birth, it just took a little extra effort. But nowadays, the birth announcement, it's a different process. It's an event. Nowadays, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. In the advent of social media, I mean, now everybody's got to one-up the next person when it comes to announcing the birth of their child. I mean, you know, it's got to be celebrity-style photographs. It's got to be Facebook-worthy, Instagram-ready. It has to have all the elements to it. And with the click of a button, within moments, everybody knows about the future birth. And then that wasn't enough. Now we had to decide, how do we pick the gender of the baby and let people know about that? And so now we have special cakes, and we have special balloons that fly out of boxes. I saw one guy who had pink smoke blown out of the back of his diesel truck, letting everybody know he was having a baby girl. I mean, it's a day and time unlike we've ever seen, making birth announcements and things such as that. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen. And so I don't know about you. Some of y'all are thinking right now, I should rethink how I announce the birth of my baby. Listen, in those moments, though, what's critical and what's significant is that there's somebody that's going, I'm getting ready to be a mother. And that's a big, big deal. And so I'm just making fun. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. I just think it's funny how things have changed even in the last few years. It's one of those things where mothers obviously make such a huge impact in the lives of our families. They're such special people. They play such a role in the family. Many times they do more roles than they ought to be doing in the family life the way it was designed, but that's the way it is. And so we know we want to honor those who are worthy of honor. This week, for example, to just share with you, I began my week with a text message from a friend of mine who was announcing the birth of her grandchild. And she sent me the picture of the little baby that was born. And this was a lady whom I had officiated the wedding of her daughter a few years ago. And she was letting me know, hey, they've had their first child. And so she sent me the picture. And so we celebrated this one who was now becoming a mother for the first time on Monday. I spent the end of my week on Saturday at a funeral for a dedicated Christian mother, a woman who had spent her life in the shadows, behind the scenes, a homemaker. Nobody really would know her that well. Nobody would be pomp and circumstance when she entered the room. Nothing like that. But a woman who had spent her life serving and caring for her family and promoting the ministry of the home. And the church was packed with people that day. What an honor for a Christian mother. You see, from the beginning of that mother's journey to the end of the mother's journey, God is with mothers in a special and a unique way. And all of our lives have been touched and impacted by them, not just our own, but if you're like me, you've got multiple mothers in your life, amen? If you've lived long enough, there's either going to be that one mother who's going to always straighten you up, the one mama who's going to always give you everything, and then there was your mother, amen? Somewhere in the mix. We all had that. We all can appreciate that. Maybe you can relate to a story I read this week about a young mother. Maybe this is where you're at now or where you have been, and her young son was on the brink, on the eve of his fifth birthday. Young man was 4 years old for the previous 12 months. Every time people would ask him, how old are you? He'd hold up four fingers. He'd go, 1, 2, 3, 4. I am 4 years old. And the mama and the daddy had been teaching him how to count and teaching him his ABCs and doing all those things. And so on the eve of his birthday, she tucked him in. She said, son, tomorrow will be a different day. She said, all this past year, you've been telling people you were 4 years old. She said, how old are you going to be tomorrow? And he went, I'll be a handful. And I think we can all relate to some of y'all were the handful and some of y'all were the mothers of handfuls. Amen. But you understand that mothers play a significant role. This morning, I want us to zoom back in time some 2,000 years. I want you to join with me as we go to a little out-of-the-way village. We find a young girl of a rather unassuming character, living life like anybody in her culture would have lived life. As a matter of fact, she was basically, as we would say today, engaged to be married. Her mind was focused on the wedding. Her mind was looking to the future of what that was going to look like. She probably was having dreams and visions, like most women, about how the party would be and who would be invited and what was going to happen. And then something absolutely radical happened, and that is she got a visit from a very special visitor. It was an angel of the Lord named Gabriel. And this mother would be one of the most famous mothers that we would ever see in human history. It would be none other than Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But the story about Mary's story in Luke chapter 1 is really not about Mary as much as it's about God. And Mary's God. As a matter of fact, I believe that Mary, when this announcement of the birth, this life-changing announcement was to come to her, it would absolutely change how she viewed and understood who God was. And I believe it'll help you this morning. Look with me, if you will, in the text in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. The Bible says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting was this." She's seeing an angel of the Lord. Verse 30 says, "And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he'll be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of it, will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May God add his blessing of his word. As we think through this process, what is it that Mary might have learned that day from this announcement? Most of us, we get a birth announcement, we learn about, you know, who it belongs to, or where the party's going to be at, or which child it will, you know, it's the fifth or fourth or third or first or whatever. We learn those kinds of details. But what did Mary learn with this unique announcement that she received? I'll submit to you a couple of things real quickly. Number one, Mary realized that God has a plan for every mother's life. God has a plan for every mother's life. As you look at this text, Mary's leading a life that she would have never in a million years dreamed that this announcement was coming to her. She was there doing the right things, being a faithful, godly young woman, had been probably raised in a godly home, obviously was unique among all the women of the world. The Bible declares her highly favored of all things. And then it says that she gets an announcement from the angel of the Lord himself. That's an amazing thing. You realize in the Bible there's only a couple of angels ever named. One is Gabriel and one is Michael. We don't know of many others. Lucifer was one. But we see these men, and Gabriel himself, this messenger angel of the Lord, comes and delivers this message to her. A very similar message that he had just given to Elizabeth 6 months prior. That's what the text says. It says in verse 26, 6 months later he comes to Mary's house. And so he had been with Elizabeth, had talked to her about her barrenness, had talked to her husband, rather, Zachariah, and said, "You're going to have a child." And Zachariah said, "That ain't happening." And he said, "Then good, you ain't going to talk till it happens." And that's exactly what took place. And so Mary doesn't even understand all that's been going on, and now she's overwhelmed by this visit. The Bible says that there he finds her in an unassuming place in a little city of Galilee named Nazareth. If I told you where to find it today, some of you would struggle in your maps in the back of your Bible to find the little dot that said Nazareth, okay? That's how obscure it was. It's telling somebody over there to find Epsom, okay? It'd be the same thing. They'd have a hard time finding it. And it says that he comes to a virgin who is betrothed to a man named Joseph. Now, I'm not here to argue this morning on the validity of what we would commonly call the virgin birth. I believe it's a doctrine that ought to be believed and preached on. I've done it here from the pulpit before. That's not my purpose this morning. There's great historical evidence and biblical evidence to support the fact that Jesus was conceived of a virgin. But it goes, suffice it to say this, that based on the text and what it says here, this means to us that Mary very likely was a young teenage girl. She's someone who we could probably put in the realm of 14 to 16 to 17 years old. There's nobody who has a hard and fast number, but you just think with me what you were like at that age. And can you imagine if an angel of the Lord were to stand before you and tell you, when you knew in all of your honesty and all of your integrity, you said, I'm a person who's never been with a man before. And he says, yeah, but you're getting ready to have a baby. And she said, I ain't never had an announcement like this before. Amen. And so Mary is having to take all those emotions in. I mean, most of us at 16, 17 years old, we're trying to figure out what to wear to prom, not talking about having babies. Amen. And so here she is. She's struggling. She's struggling to take all this information in. But here's what she's beginning to see. Is she seeing that God has a plan for my life? And it might be a plan I never thought of. It might be a plan I never expected. It might be a plan I would have never conceived of in my mind. And I'm sure she had never thought this would happen. It says here that she's betrothed to a man named Joseph. We know that to be a permanent engagement. You might as well say it was a binding agreement. It was as good as done. It was to say that she was just as good as married, treated as married in every way except for the consummation of the marriage act itself. And they were waiting for the wedding day for that to occur. And so in all circumstances, she was like a married woman who had never been with a man. Her and Joseph had maintained their integrity, the Bible declares, here and in other places. But verse 28 says, and the angel came into her. And notice this description that we find. He gives here several declarations and greets her in this way. He says, rejoice, first of all. You ought to have joy at this announcement. Then he says, you're the highly favored one. And then he says here that the Lord is with you. And then he says here, blessed are you among women. And then if you look at when she is troubled by it, look at verse 30. Then he says, don't be afraid. Have you ever noticed most of the time in the scripture, whenever an angel shows up, the first thing he says is, don't be afraid? Because I don't know what they exactly look like, but there must be something overwhelming about their presence. And so here's Mary, troubled, afraid, tension is in the room, and the angel says, don't be afraid. Everything's going to be all right. But think about how this applies to the mom today. When they hear this announcement, the Bible says you are to rejoice, you're being favored in that. Listen, we live in a culture today, in a world today, that it would say anything but that. There's people today that believe that becoming a mother is the worst thing could happen in their life. There are some women today that have been so convoluted by our culture and the world that's out there today telling them that having a baby or having a child or going in that direction of life is a waste of their time. It's a waste of their creative abilities. And they would just say all these things. But yet the Bible declares here that Mary's a highly favored one because of this announcement. If that's the Lord's will to allow that woman to have a child, then bless God, they ought to realize the favor of God that's upon them. The Bible says she's favored. But then he says this. He says, you're not alone. How many of y'all mamas need to hear that today, amen? I mean, here's Mary. I don't know about you, but as a young teenage girl being overwhelmed, she probably felt pretty much alone in that moment. She could never have imagined this kind of a conversation even happening. He says, hey, God's with you. I know what I'm telling you is overwhelming, but God is with you. I know sometimes being a mother must be an overwhelming experience, but we need to be reminded that you're favored, that you ought to have joy in that experience, that you're not alone. Thirdly, he says, you're unique. He goes on to tell her that. He says, the Lord is with you and you're blessed among women. Every mama's a unique mama. Every mama's unique. Now, my mama's the best. But that's what you would say about your mama too. You know why? Because every mama's a unique mama. Amen. That's just the way it is. Every mama's like that. But Mary was a unique mother. There are plenty of mothers that were probably in the village that day, but there'd be none like Mary and there'll be none like you. God's designed you with a perfect plan for your life to be the mama he called you to be. And you ought to fulfill that in honor of the Lord. And then finally, he says, not only are you unique, he says, you don't have a need to fear. Oh, you don't have a need to be afraid. You ought to be rejoicing because this, listen, Mary learns that she'll become a mother And I love the announcement. As you begin to see it here, not only would she be a mother, but she learns what the baby's gender will be, and then it learns what the baby's name's going to be. Well, that makes things a lot easier. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you just start off with that, if you look at the text, here's the first gender announcement we see in the scripture, right? It says here in the text in verse 31, and behold, you'll conceive in your womb, you'll be a mama. Number two, you'll bring forth a son. That's what it'll be. And number three, here's the name, Jesus. The word means Jehovah saves. He's saying to Mary, you're going to bear the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Never been a mama quite like that. Listen, God's got a plan for every mother here today, just like he had a plan for Mary's life. Listen, you may not be Mary, but that ain't your plan. But God's called you to be a mama with a plan. Have you ever had a plan that just goes awry? You ever had a plan? I mean, you lay out the plan, you got the plan. In the words of my childhood favorite actor, Hannibal Smith of the A-Team, don't you just love it when the plan comes together, though? Amen. I mean, I tell you, that's inspiring words. He rates right up there, you know. But here, I remember a couple years ago, Mindy and I and her brother, we had a wonderful plan to honor her parents, you know, and we wanted to celebrate their anniversary. It was going to be their 40th anniversary. That's a big deal, you know. And we said, we're going to celebrate this. Boy, we went into full party mode. I mean, we got caterers. We lined up guests. We invited tons of people. We made a video. We got people from their past, videoed them, and put it all together. It was an elaborate ordeal. I mean, it was good. We had people that they hadn't seen in years sending in messages to us, telling them well wishes and things. I mean, it was I'm crying right now on the inside thinking about how good a job we did. And we did all that, and we put it again. We surprised them. They had no idea it was coming to us. And here's what happened. It wasn't their 40th anniversary. It was their 39th. And we didn't know, and we had the most wonderful plan in the world. We had a great meal that night, had a lot of fun. Everybody got a big kick out of it, and to this day, we don't know what day their anniversary is. We don't know much about it. We've been so messed up since then, we don't know where they're along the way. They're married. They're still good. That's all we know. But you ever had a plan just go completely awry? And the reason it did was because we just didn't know everything. We didn't know everything. We thought we knew everything. We obviously didn't know what we thought we knew. And sometimes as a mama, you know, you're going to go through stuff in life and the plans aren't going to go the way you want. But I want you to understand something. God didn't ask you to know everything, but he says he knows everything. And he knows the plan that he's got for your life. And he's not going to make a mistake with it. And there might be times where you pillow your head at night thinking, I'm the worst mama there's ever been. Maybe there's times you pillow your head and say, that kid's going to drive me crazy. I want you to know something. God's got a plan for your life. And God's called you to a specific, special, unique, honored calling. And we need a generation of mothers to rise up today that'll be women who will serve the Lord Jesus Christ and will submit to him and will lead their children in that way. But not only does God have a calling on every mother's life, but if you look at the text, we see here that Mary learned that God's got a calling on every child's life. Every child's got a purpose and a plan by God. Mary knows nothing about what's going on other than the fact that this guy comes, the angel comes, Gabriel announces that she's going to be a mother. She's getting over that thought, and then he begins to tell her the kind of child that she would have. Can you imagine that? I know how many of you, when you were preparing for the birth of your children, you would think to yourself, I wonder what they're going to be like. I wonder, are they going to talk like me, look like me, act like me? Man, I hope they don't do that. Maybe you had all kinds of thoughts about that. Look at the text again, if you will, at verse 32. Luke chapter 1:32, he says this. He says, this child that's going to be born is going to be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, reaching back into that Jewish lineage. And then he talks about his Messiahship, verse 33. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob for a little while. No, it says forever. And of his kingdom, there'll be no end. Wow, the anointed one. He says, Mary, this child has a unique, special plan that nobody else can fulfill but him. And he's going to be your responsibility. And you're going to bear this child. And Mary is beginning to hear what the future of her child would look like and to understand that God has this plan. Mary says in verse 34, listen, if we could say much about Mary, we could say, first of all, she probably was confused. Now we see that she's candid. The Bible says, well, how can this be? I mean, I'm imagining she did a head nod and everything else. How can this be? How can I have a baby? I've never been with a man. Looking at this angel as though he doesn't understand biology. Amen. And she says, that's not going to happen. And then he says this, but oh, you don't understand. This is a unique, a supernatural, a special conception. For the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And there, in this uniqueness and the mystery of God, you will bear the Holy One who will be called the Son of God. Wow. Mary, not only does God have a plan for your life that you never thought, dreamed, or imagined, but man, God's got a plan for your child's life. This one whom you will bear will be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The one we've been waiting for, looking for, that all of your Jewish family have been praying about. As a young Jewish girl growing up, that's all she'd ever heard. There was coming this one to be the Savior. And now she learned that her child would be just that one. Listen, the conception of Jesus would be a special and a unique blessing given by the Holy Spirit to Mary. God had a specific and unique plan for Jesus' life, but he's also got a plan designed for every child's life in this place. And pay attention, if you're here this morning, you're somebody's child, amen? And God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your life. I believe that the Bible declares that life begins at conception. Life begins at conception. From the earliest of days of the scripture, we would understand life begins at conception. We live in a world today that denies that truth, okay? But we believe the Bible teaches that at the point of conception, there is life. And not only this, I want you to pay attention. Let's go back a step. Not only does life begin at conception, but God has a plan for that child before they're even conceived. There's no one in this place today where God hadn't designed a plan for your life. And Mary's beginning to understand that here she is, absolutely. Her womb is empty. She's a virgin, never been with a man, never had the chance to have a baby yet. And all of a sudden, she's understanding that God had a plan from eternity past for her and for the one she was called to bear. You don't have to turn there, but if you were to look in Psalm 139, we see that God had a plan for David's life. In Psalm 139, verses 13 through 17, this is what David would write later in life. He said of God, he says, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The imagery here is a beautiful picture where David is saying that God, from the earliest moments of conception, you have been intimately and deliberately involved in my creation. There's not one person here today that has not, as the Hebrew says, has not been knit together by God. It's the picture of one who's knitting together a beautiful tapestry, who takes the time and the dedication to put it all together. And listen, it's not just some biological act, folks. It's God in his providence. Every child that's ever been conceived has been knit together in the womb by the hand of the living God. And that's why life is precious, and that's why abortion is so evil, and that's why it's so wrong, is because God himself is being smacked in the face and is being rebelled against when people go that route. And it's a sad way to go, because they don't understand how precious life is at the beginning of conception. And Mary is saying, God, I know you've got a plan, but I don't fully understand it. But God's saying, I understand that I've got a plan for that one, for every mother's child that's ever been born. David says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. How many times do you hear that garbage from the media? Well, it doesn't count because it hadn't fully formed yet. Doesn't matter what you think. The Bible says God has seen before it's even been formed the one that will be born. Every little beautiful child in this place today has been knit together in the womb by God himself. And I'll stand and declare the sacredness of human life, because that's what the Bible declares about human life. And every child has a beautiful plan wrought by the hand of God. Notice this, the Bible says, David in Psalm 139, verse 16, he says, and in your book they are all written, my days that were fashioned for me. You won't live longer than you're supposed to live, because your days have been written in the book of God. God wrote your biography before you were ever born. God knew the end of your story before the beginning of your story. God has his hand in your life and my life and Mary's life and every child who will ever be born. Oh, it's a beautiful picture of what God said. David says, listen, he says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? There's nobody here that could ever walk out of this place and say, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't know me. God doesn't understand me. Oh, you're missing the picture of the scriptures. God knew you in your mother's womb, at the point of conception and before. David had a plan, and God described it in Psalm 139. I love the passage in Jeremiah chapter 1, where we see that God had a plan for Jeremiah's life. The Bible says in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah writes, God said these words to him in Jeremiah 1, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you intimately. Before I formed you in the womb. Do you catch that? That's what God said. God said, every child's got a plan because I'm the one who made them. The Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You see, we come in and we've ordained deacons here. We've ordained men to the gospel ministry here. We're simply recognizing what God did before they were even conceived in the womb. That God said, I knew you and ordained you and called you and planned your life out. Jeremiah. And Jeremiah goes, but Lord, I'm too young. I can't preach. You don't know anything. God says, listen, son. He said, don't say you're too young. You go, I'll put my words in your mouth. And Jeremiah became one of the most elaborate and powerful prophets of the Old Testament. Beautiful, beautiful picture in the book of Jeremiah of the power of God working in this young man's life. And here's the picture I'm trying to make today, is that God had a plan for David's life before he was ever conceived. He had a plan for Jeremiah's life. Ever conceived, and here he was telling Mary, I've got a plan for Jesus' life before he's ever been conceived in her womb, and he's got a plan for your life before you were ever conceived and brought into this world. And God's wanting to work out his plan through you. My last point is this, is not only is he a plan for the mother and a plan for the child, but God has the power to accomplish his plan. If you look back at Luke chapter 1, verse 37, verse 36, Gabriel looks to Mary and says, listen, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, is conceived in her old age, and it's now the sixth month of the one who was called barren. He said, the world said she'd never have a baby. She was viewed as a curse among the women of that day. The women would talk about Zechariah's wife. She must have done something wrong, you know. She couldn't have a baby. She wasn't like the rest of them. And Gabriel looks and says, listen, he says, she's 6 months pregnant today because nothing is impossible with God. He said, God's got a plan for Elizabeth's life. God's got a plan for Zechariah's life and John the Baptist's life, the one to be born. He's got a plan for Mary. He's got a plan for Jesus. He says here, listen, I've got a plan and I've got power to back up my plans. You go on down in verse 37, he says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And in verse 38 says it all right here, folks. Look at this. If you're Mary, your heart is pounding out of your chest. Your mind is racing at all the information you've just received. You can't take it all in. You don't have notebook paper to write it all down. There's no way to have a photographic memory. You're overwhelmed by it all, but you've come to the conclusion that God has a plan. And look at the response of Mary, verse 38. She says, then Mary says these words, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. This young girl, teenage woman, who had been pursuing and following hard after God, said, I'll be the slave of the Lord. The word means handmaiden in the King James, the maidservant in the New King James, but it comes from the Greek word that means a slave. Here's what Mary said. Pay attention. Not only was Mary confused and had been candid, but she had been called as a mother. And she said, you know what? I'll submit to a greater authority. I won't try to run my life. I'll lay my passions. I'll lay my agendas. I'll lay my plans. I'll lay my desires. I'll lay it all down. And I'll be his slave. I'll be his servant. We need a generation of mothers today that'll say, I'll be the maid servant of the Lord. I'll do what God calls me to do. I'll be the mama he's called me to be. I'll lead my family the way he's called me to lead my family. I'll let him be the one to honor me if nobody else will ever honor me. I know that God will honor that. And the Bible says here, after she made this declaration, that the angel departed from her. I think he was running back to heaven to say, she took the job. She took the job. I don't know about you, Mama, today. I don't know where you're coming from, but maybe there's times where you believe. I understand God's got a plan, but I don't see how in the world he's going to bring it to bear. Have you seen my children? I think back to some of the Old Testament books. I mean, we look back in the book of Genesis, the first mother, Eve. Boy, she was anything but a perfect woman, but praise God, she became the redeemed mother. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 3 that God sacrificed animals and covered Adam and Eve after their sin with those skins. A sacrifice took place, and she received that sacrifice, and in that covering she found redemption. And the Bible says that then, according to the word of God, that she became the mother of all living. And when the enemy thought, Satan himself said, I've tricked her, I've fooled her, I've messed up all of God's creation, Eve began to bear children and did the fulfillment of Genesis 1:28, which says, be fruitful and multiply. Eve got her bearings, and she became obedient to the Lord Jesus, and she began to do what she was called to do. And God had the power to bring about the accomplishment of his plan. I think back in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus and other places where you see the story of Moses. And here's in the book of Genesis, we see, here's this idea of Moses who was being left for dead. But he had a mama, right? He had a good mama. And his mama was there wondering, how in the world is God going to bring about his plan through my child's life? We're under the Egyptian slavery. And here the children are trying to be killed and they're supposed to be dying at birth. And yet she saves that child and she puts him in that water in that little basket. And she doesn't know what's going to happen, but she trusted God. And she said, God, you just got to make a way. You're just going to have to make a way. And Moses grows up with two mamas. He's got the one who gave him birth, and he's got Pharaoh's daughter who took care of him. And out of that, God began to take Moses, and he took that young man, and he made him the leader over his people Israel. But that mama would have never seen how that was going to happen. I think back to stories like the book of Joshua tells us about a young man like Joshua and Caleb. Out of all the spies who sought out the promised land, only two would stand up for the Lord and say, we believe we can take this land. And we see God gives Joshua victory after victory after victory. But behind Joshua, we don't know nothing much about her. But there was some mother who said and something into his life, spoke some truth into his life and said, you trust God. Even when everybody else says that you can't. You trust God. And that good mama must have been speaking words of encouragement to him. And Joshua was a man who stood in the midst of controversy and said, listen, we can take the land. I think back to stories like David, who became from a position of a humble shepherd boy. We don't know much about David's mama. We hear a little bit about his daddy. But here we see him coming from the position of a humble shepherd boy to become the greatest king that Israel ever had. How did that happen? How did that happen? Well, because God has the power to bring about his plans. I think about young Timothy in the New Testament, who was there, born to he was a half-breed. His daddy was a half-Greek. His mama's a Jew and all these kind of things that are a mixed family relationship. Everything was against him. But the Apostle Paul comes along and Timothy is there with him. And the Bible says that Eunice and Lois, his mother and his grandmother, gave him the word of God from the time he was an infant and poured God's word into his life. And Timothy is raised up from the midst of that situation to become one of the greatest pastors and missionaries in the New Testament. Because nothing can stop the purpose and the power of God's plan. I stand before you today, 41 years old. In 1976, when my mother found out that she was pregnant with me, it was the greatest day of her life. Somebody get Todd off the floor. In 1976, things were a little bit different. Mama was 42 years old. They said, you're going to have another child. Well, she already had three knuckleheads. What was four going to hurt, right? But in that day and time, it was not a good deal. As a matter of fact, we hear about people today having babies at much older ages, but we didn't back then. And in 1976, her doctors discouraged her. They said, you know what? The odds are against you. Obviously, I was a surprise of some sort. And they said, you don't want to do this because you may end up with a child that has some disability, some kind of deformity. There may be some problems. It may be difficult for you physically. This could be a bad, bad situation. And the recommendation was that she get an abortion. My mother was a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she didn't think that was an acceptable offer. And so she searched around and found another set of doctors who would agree to take her case on. And they agreed to see her through and walk her through the pregnancy, and no matter what happened, they'd be with her. And so 41 years later, I'm standing here today because God had a plan for my mother's life, and God had a plan for my life, and God had the power to bring his plan to bear. And I don't know what you're facing. And I don't know how big the obstacles may seem. And you may say, I can't see the end of the journey. I can't see the end of that tunnel. I want you to know that God had a plan. Mary wasn't asked to know everything. She was simply asked to trust God. And all the mamas that are here today, that's all I'm asking of you, is that you trust and believe that God has your best interest at heart. If you're a mama today and you've never met the Lord Jesus, you've never submitted to Him as your Savior, I pray today would be your day of salvation. The greatest gift you could ever give your child would to have a mama who loves Jesus. You might not ever give them money or fame or popularity or houses or property or any of those things that are worldly, but if you can give them a mother who loves Jesus, that's the greatest gift any child could ever get. If that's not you, then you need to make sure today that you know, that you know, that you know. Maybe today you're here and maybe your mama's with you. Maybe service today you want to just come pray with her. Let her know how much you love her, how much you care about her. Hug on her a little bit. It's okay. And say, thank you for being a godly mother and for serving the Lord before me. But this morning as we give our invitation, I pray as we sing the song, I Surrender All, I pray that you'd sing those words, mean them in your heart. That when you say to the Lord, I surrender all, you really mean it. You think back to Mary's words. Mary said, behold, the maidservant, the handmaid, the slave of the Lord. Lord, I surrender it all. I hold nothing back. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I don't know about you, but in my mind, I think crazy thoughts sometimes, and I can't imagine my mama being in heaven for a couple of years and she ain't running to Mary yet. I feel like Maddie's done met Mary, and Mary's done met Maddie. And I feel pretty sure Maddie's done gave her an earful. But somewhere along the way, they're probably sitting on a little bench on the side of a golden street somewhere, and Mary said, yeah, it was crazy when I found out I was pregnant. Mama said, you ain't kidding me. And Mary said, yeah, I was told I was going to bear the Son of God. That's an amazing thought. I was a young girl. Mama said, well, I was an old lady. I didn't think I'd have a fourth child. And Mary said, yeah, it's amazing how God's got a plan, isn't it? And Mama said, yeah, because all four of my boys are out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's got a plan. He's got a plan for your life. I pray you'd submit to that plan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we give you the glory. We love the Christmas story. We love hearing and reminding ourselves of the wonderful picture of the incarnation of Jesus. But Lord, today we want to look at the side of the humanness of it, of Mary's perspective. Lord, may we learn some lessons today. Maybe we are doubting you. Maybe we don't believe you've really got a plan for us. Maybe we haven't submitted to you like Mary did yet. Or maybe we don't realize how intimately involved you've been in our life from the very, very beginning. Lord, may you forgive us for times like that when we take you for granted. And then, Lord, in this place, if there's anybody here that's lost and without Christ, I pray today would be the day of their salvation, that they'd know for certain today where they'll spend their eternity, that they would admit that they're a sinner in need of a Savior and confess Jesus as the Savior for them. We ask these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.